Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Talking about eight things no kid should leave home without. Eight principles that will help your child, my child, go through life and find success in life, because these are principles based on the Word of God. We've talked about the first one, which is the law of self-worth. How important it is that you know you're worth something, because that way you can be a blessing to other people, because you'll treat others how you feel about yourself. We talked about the fact how the great commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wife like you love yourself. There are eight scriptures in the Bible that say, love your neighbor as yourself. So what it means is, what if you don't love yourself? Well, if you don't love yourself, your neighbor's in trouble. I want to read something to you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, talking about vision, which is where we're going today. You know, vision becomes critical. Once you know you're worth something and you have value, then what do you want to do with that value? You know, if you've got something that's worth something, you don't want to take something valuable and bury it somewhere or stick it away. You want it where somebody can see it, enjoy it, benefit from it, because it's like being a steward, the law of stewardship. You know, Jesus telling the story about the parable of the talents got upset. He's upset at the man who buried the one talent that he had and said, you wicked and slothful servant, you should have at least taken this and put this in the bank. At least I could have drawn some interest. In other words, I want you to do something with what I give you. That's called having a vision. You know, Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Nothing's built great. No family, no business, no ministry without a vision. Where are you going? You know, God told Habakkuk, I'm about to give you a vision. I want you to write it down, because it's going to tarry. It's not going to happen tomorrow. I want you to write it down so others can read it and run with it. And so what you want a clear vision, and visions come from God. You know, visions come to individuals, not to groups of people. That's where God begins to direct our paths. He becomes our God. He shows us the way to go. You know, he orders our steps. You know, God begins to give direction. And so he does it one step at a time. God does not order our miles. He orders our steps. But that's still part of the vision. Here's what I like is what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 or 4, verse 18. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. He's talking about, you know, being able to see the next life. You know, you understand that this is not the only life you're going to have. Can you see what you can't see right now? Which goes back to Jesus, and he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And can you not see what I'm showing? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what we've got a not seen realm. We got a place that you can see. You know, if you go to the Small Business Administration, apply for a loan, they're going to ask you for a 5-year plan. One of the things I did for years is help schools get accredited, working with an organization that accredited schools. And so you come, say, we're wanting to start an elementary school or a high school, a secondary school. And so I said, okay, as an accrediting organization, we're going to help you do that. But the first thing we must have from you is we need a 5-year plan. In other words, what will this school that you currently don't have, what will it look like 5 years from now? You know, how many students will you have? What will be the square footage in the building? What's going to be the overhead utilities to run this thing? How many teachers will you have? What will be their salary ranges? You know, what do you expect to be the base SAT scores you'll be able to produce? How many students can you get per room? How many chairs? How many desks? How many blackboards? You know, how it's the insurance, the liability going to be? In other words, can you see this school before it exists? Can you see it? That's what faith is. Can you see something before it actually is? Because you and I, faith has got to chase something that it currently doesn't see in the natural. But it doesn't mean it's not real. And what it is, you're looking for a vision. Now, what I like, this it says, this faith again is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In other words, God had a plan. Then he spoke that plan. Then the plan came to fruition or came to being. So we're framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so we begin to frame our life by our vision. That's why I used to tell people, you know, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know where somebody's at, get them to talk. Because whatever they're thinking about, dreaming about, planning will come out of their mouth. It's good because it's the heart. It's the heart revealed. They'll reveal what's in their soul. You know, Matthew 12, 34 and 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will birth good things in his life, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will birth evil things. One of the challenges you see with young people today is not knowing where they want to go, not knowing what they're called to do, not knowing what they're good at. In other words, you know, trying to get a kid, I mean, when I was a school administrator, trying to get a child to make a good grade for just the sake of a grade was a very difficult decision. You got about 1 out of 7 kids who are just naturally bent towards school. They just like school. They like getting grades. But 6 out of 7 want to know the reason why. If I'm studying this, what's this going to do for me? I mean, it's just logical to know if I'm going to spend time investing my life into this, how am I going to benefit? Where's this going to take me? And somehow we sort of miss being able to connect the dots and explain that to the young people where you're going. Now, a vision is something Jesus had. The Bible said Jesus had a vision. He said, you know who a wise man is? A wise man is somebody who is a doer of the word. Well, you cannot be a doer of something until you're a knower of it. You've got to gain knowledge first. I go back to what Jesus said in Luke 6, 46. He said, I need you to hear and both do my word. If you want to survive, then test and trials of life. That means God's got a plan. God's got something for us. And so we want to find out what it is. We put a book together one time for some kids, and then we did it for some college students to help them get a vision. Because it's just so challenging to help people find out what it is they're good at. Now, I believe in testing. I think there's some incredible tests. I think in helping build a vision for your life, first you got to find out what it is you've got. Let's take inventory. Who are you? What's of value? You know, there's an old saying, you only get paid for 2 things on this planet, what you know and what you do. And if you don't know more than somebody else and you can't do more than somebody else, you do not get paid any more than somebody else. And so when you leave home, you need to have a vision other than just getting a job. Because that's what I did. I left home. I just wanted a job. I was told that's what you do. Get a job. You get a girlfriend. You make your wife. You get married. And life will take care of itself. Well, it didn't, because life's incredibly big. You know, and it can get incredibly complex. And I realized something, that sometimes you can be like a little hamster running in a wheel. You can get up every night and run that little wheel, and you just be real tired and sleep real good, but you're not going anywhere. You're just going to run in circles. And God's got so much more for us than that. God's got an incredible life for us. But if we don't know that, we won't begin to chase it. We'll just settle or whatever life gives us. We put this book together, and the first thing we did a study of everybody's name, every student. We put their name on a piece of paper. Here's what your name means, the root meaning, whether it's Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, English, Italian, French, Latin, whatever the root meaning is. Your name means something. A good name is something you will build. It's not something you inherit. You get a chance to build your name. Your name will mean something. It'll have value to it. So honor your name. Begin to build something. Your name's prophetic. It means something. Find out what your name means. Number 2, we put together a scripture on one page, Psalms 139, verse 15. It says, all the days of your life were recorded in heaven before one of them ever took shape. In other words, God had a book in heaven with your name on it before you were ever conceived. God looked down through time and saw you coming. See, God had a vision. He planned creation before he ever spoke it into existence. That's why God could take John off the Isle of Patmos and bring him up to the third heaven and say, John, come here, I want to show you something. And John, the revelator, saw the future, and he wrote down the book of Revelation. John wrote the future before the future happened. Why? Because God sits at the center of the universe. God, there is no time in heaven. Heaven is eternity. In heaven, if you've had loved ones die and go to heaven, heaven's eternity. There's no time in heaven. It's not Monday or Saturday or Thursday or Sunday in heaven. Heaven just is. It's not 4 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 12 o'clock. Heaven is eternity. It just is. And God sits in eternity and looks out into time. He created time for you and I to live in so we could measure our life and give an account of it when we get to heaven. In other words, when you go to heaven, it's like checking into a hotel. First, you go to the register. Am I registered? And that's the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're saved, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then your name's in it and has not been blotted out. You get to check into the hotel heaven. Once you check in, you don't get to take any luggage with you. You're issued things once you get there. So once you're in the first book, you get to go to another book called the Book of Works. And there's where every idle word, every idle deed, every idle thought, I will give an account of, and I'll be rewarded accordingly. And some of those rewards will be gold and silver and precious stones. Some will be wood, hay, and stubble. Once my rewards are piled up in the hotel of heaven, some angel's going to touch that, and that thing's going to be burnt by fire. And that which is pure, the gold, silver, and precious stones, will remain, But that which is not worth anything that I brought with me, done outside of faith, outside the will of God, gets burned up, and I don't keep that, and that becomes my reward for eternity. And so you got heaven here, and God looks out into the future. That's why he said, John, come up here. You have to understand that there's no time. Time is a place that God created again so we can measure. For example, to give an example of how big the place is and how small and how big, we live in the Milky Way galaxy, which is supposedly the smallest of the 50 billion plus known galaxies. Yet it's still 200,000 light years from one side of our galaxy to the other. Now time and light are very close. And when you study physics, you study science, at the speed of light, supposedly time ceases to exist. There is no time at the speed of light. Speed of light, 186,000 miles a second. So if you can imagine getting your truck or car, get out on the interstate and get it up to 186,000 miles a second, leave the interstate and head out into space. If you could travel at the speed of light. Now, to give you another idea, if you stood out on the parking lot or out back behind your house and you were able to fire a .22 rifle and shoot a bullet up into the air, if that bullet traveled at the speed of light, it would circle the earth 7 times, come across the top of your head before you can get your finger off the trigger. That's how fast the speed of light is. Can you imagine? Boom, it just circled the earth 7 times. That is how fast the speed of light. Traveling at that speed, not ever backing off, but if you could travel at that speed in your vehicle, it would still take you 200,000 years at that speed to cross from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other. And we're the smallest of the galaxies. You know how incredibly big this place is? You know how incredibly detailed God is? I mean, did you know at the moment of conception, because when that egg was fertilized at the moment of conception, the DNA that's in there, our entire physical body, the whole map of our physical life, it could fit on the head of a pin. I mean, your hair color, your eye color, your height, your weight, your skin color, your personality, everything, your nose size, everything about you was genetically already engineered in that one first moment of life right there. God's got your whole physical being mapped out. He's got the same thing for your social life, for your mental. He's got it. Now, he won't make us live it, but he's got an incredible plan for our life. And God says, come here, John, I'm going to show you something. John gets up and he writes Revelation. The thing is, Revelation hadn't happened yet, yet God saw it happen. You understand? God looks out into the future. God sees you and I 5 minutes from now. God sees you and I 5 days from now, 5 weeks from now, 5 years from now. That's why God said, I will order your steps, direct your paths, and show you things to come. God has seen the future. That's how. God's not just a good guesser. He doesn't live in time. He sits where there is no time, and he looks out into time, and he can measure. And that's why I said, if you'll listen to me, I'll order your steps. If you'll listen to me, I'll show you things to come. If you'll listen to me, I'll guide you into all truth. What an incredible thought you think about vision. Why? When I try to live my life without God. Since God's seen my life, planned my life, got a great plan for my life, why would I get up a single day of my life and not commit my life to God, not acknowledge Him in all my ways so He can direct my path? Why would I even think about that? That would just be sheer ignorance on my part to try to do that. Yet don't we do that from time to time? But here's the thing. God's got a vision. You know, it went on and said, we had in that same book, after we did Psalms 139, we did Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, where God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I knew your name before your mother knew your name. You know, before you had a mother, I knew you would be born. I knew what your name would be, and I already ordained you a prophet to the nations. He said, I saw your future, Jeremiah, and it's real good. The next page, Jeremiah 11:29, we love to quote this, where God says, I know the plans I have for you. I have no plans to harm you. I've got plans to give you a future and hope, to prosper you. God's plans for me are good. In other words, I've told young people, listen, God looked down through time and saw every sin you would ever commit, every lie you would ever tell, every nasty thing you'd ever do, and still wrote down an incredibly divine, prosperous, wonderful, faith-filled future plan for your life. Because God's plan for my life is based on God, not based on me. And thank God it is. The next is Jeremiah 33:3 in that book, where we put down, God said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you don't know about. God knows our future, and it's incredible. It's incredible. If we don't live there, if we don't meet there, that's why it says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 15, that which is in my life has already been. That which is to be in my life in the future, God says. In other words, that which is to be in my life has already been, God says. Joe, your future's history to me. Your future, which is future to you, is history to me. I've already seen it. And then he says in Ecclesiastes 3:15, and when you get to heaven, I will demand an accounting of your past. God said, I will have to give an account as to why I did not live this incredible plan for my life. In other words, I'll have to be disobedient could not live this plan. The next scripture that we have there is Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things you don't know about. God has no small plans for anybody. They're all great and mighty, not based on our IQ, how much schooling we've got, our personality profile tests. They're based on God and God alone. The next scripture is Romans 11:29, which says this, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Once God gives a gift, he doesn't take it back. That's why you see people that are gifted to make millions of dollars in business, on Wall Street, people gifted as musicians, entertainers, athletes. You think, is that God's blessing on them? No, that's not God's blessing on them. That's them stewarding their gift. Jesus takes you to heaven, not your gift. Your gift, my gift, is for this planet. What do you do with your gift? Well, your gift earns you a living by serving your fellow man. The better you steward your gift, the better you can serve your fellow man, the better living you make. Which brings us to the next scripture page in that book that we created for these kids to help them build a vision. It's 1 Peter 4:10-11, which says this, as every man has received a gift, let him employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And he whose gift is serving, let him serve as the ability God gives. He whose gift is speaking, let him speak as of the oracles of God. In other words, even the gift I have came from God. The ability to use it came from God. I have nothing of my own. That's why you can just rest. You're just walking out what God's given. That's what's incredible about all this. And then the last page is we do a vocational test where we do a great test called Discovering Your God-Given Gifts by Don and Katie Fortune. A chosen books published. It's an incredible book based on Romans 12:6-9 about the 7 motivational gifts. We use some other books called The Path, How to Write a Personal Mission Statement, you know, that you go through and you write down. And we help young people and older people as well put together, finally, a 1-paragraph statement. Here is God's vision for your life. This is what you're called, gifted, and destined to do. It doesn't mean you won't have opposition. It doesn't mean you won't have roadblocks. You won't have people discourage you. You won't have the cheerleaders from hell come out of the woodwork and try to get you to not do it. It just means you now know where you're going. And now you don't have to worry about perishing because you're going to have the boldness and the faith to overcome things because you know where you're going, that God's with you. If God be for me, who can be against me? And so all of a sudden you get this incredible vision. You begin to walk this thing out. Now, what you do is this. Life's going to have all sorts of steps and twists and turns in it. But when you leave with a vision, kids who leave home with a vision, you're not born with a vision. Somebody has to impart it. I know my wife and I, one time we took 2 pom-poms and put them on the hallway upstairs as we would come down from our bedroom each morning to remind us we were the #1 cheerleaders in our home. Nobody else is going to encourage our children except us. We're the ones anointed as mom and dad to encourage and speak vision into our child's life.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.